still a problem nowadays, Bramer? Hall monitors trying to make their mark, not working for the good of the team.
That's right.
Happens way too much.
Yep.
Too many
Just
hall
a bunch
monitors
of rats out
there.
There.
Rats. You know who does a great...
Trying to get ahead.
One of those Nicholson. And what's the movie with DiCaprio? Not The The Departed. Because there's some rat.
Yeah.
Just nipping at it. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, that's not a bad flick.
It's not great, but it's all right.
It's not Scorsese's best.
No.
And at the end, when like the rat goes crawling across Matt Damon's apartment, it's like, we get it. He was the rat.
Yeah, that was pretty obvious. You didn't have to hit us over the head with a sledgehammer.
I know. It's like, for anyone not sure yet,
yes, he was the rat. And that was, but I love it who Nicholson's like, we got some rat in here. So,
yeah.
Cheese-eating rat.
That was the soundtrack that Christopher Moltisanti
yes,
was listening to when he got into that car wreck with Tony, and then Tony just killed him.
Yeah, he did. Just held his nose because they were Comfortably Numb by Floyd, I think, is what they were listening
well,
to.
Well, it was Roger Waters, but it was Van Morrison was singing the lead. Ah. Well, he wasn't singing the lead. He was singing the, I guess, the David Gilmour chorus part.
The riff, yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, time for the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, let's. How about this? Let's start with the dogs in the NFL draft. I want you to tell me which one of these players did the most in your mind to improve his draft stock from this past season.
Okay.
I'll tell you my answer.
Okay. I would say, depending on how you want to look at it, I would say Javon Wims went from not being drafted to being a mid-round draft choice. Isaiah Wynn probably went from a fourth or a fifth round pick to a first round pick. And I think with Lorenzo Carter, you know, he's a guy I always felt he would combine himself into a high pick. So he might have gone from, say, a third to a second or a second to a late first. And certainly Sony Michel. I mean, if you need a back, how could you not look at him?
I thought for me it was Davin Bellamy.
It's a good
call. Because a year ago when, you know, all those players announced, hey, we're coming back for another season, to me it was like the only two that really needed to announce anything was Chubb and Michel. I mean,
agreed.
At that point it felt like, you know, Carter, although even then Carter was going to be a combine, a workout warrior, but I felt like, okay, those guys are basically announcing they're coming back from not being drafted. And now it's like I think Bellamy's going to be drafted. I mean, got a chance to go – I mean, how many rounds is day two? That's second and third?
First on day one, second and third, day two, 4 through 7.
Yeah.
Day three.
I mean, I could see Bellamy maybe working his way into the third round.
Enough
of that tape gets out there about how he was a part of just abusing Notre Dame's, you know, what did turn out to be an excellent offensive line. It's, I mean, it's crazy remembering watching that game and thinking, this is a good offensive line, but it was a good offensive line.
Yes,
and both of those guys, McGlinchey and Nelson, are still projected first rounders.
Yeah, no question about it. It looks like Nelson, they might be thinking he could go a little bit higher now.
Like top 10.
Yeah, but McGlinchey, I mean, you got a 6'8" guy who plays tackle. I mean, you bet your boots he's going to be a first round pick.
He's got that good, he does, I did admire his face mask. He had a good old school mask.
He did.
Just one of those big, like, long ones.
Oh, I think that's a great call, Chris, that Davin Bellamy probably played himself from, you know, like you were saying, maybe a 6th, 7th round pick. Yeah, he could go in the 3rd round.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, Wims is another one that a year ago, prior to the beginning of the season, I mean, we didn't really talk about him.
No.
And now, yeah, he's emerged as a guy that's going to get he's absolutely going to get drafted.
He is magnificent. And the other part, you made a great point, too, that now all of a sudden he was this guy who it's like, yeah, he was pretty good at the end of 16. He's a little bit bigger. And now he's kind of the prototype for what Georgia's looking for in that next batch of receiver when it comes to recruiting and development. It's like, all right, who's the next Wims going to be?
Yeah, big, tall guy. He's got good hands, catches everything. And, you know, you can throw that little back shoulder fade to him.
And those strong hands.
Right along the sideline, yeah. He just goes up over the defensive back, comes down with it.
Strong hands. Just show the ball to the ref.
Yeah.
Look, you don't need to review this.
Yeah, there won't be. He doesn't need the catch rule to be changed because he'll be all right on that. But the rest of us do need the catch rule to be changed so that it's not we're not sitting there analyzing every little detail of, like, I think that ball might have moved down there when he rolled over on the ground.
Hello, Mr. Goodell. My name's Jeff. I'm 45 years old. I've loved football my whole life. When I was a little boy, I knew all the rules, and when me and our friends would play in the backyard and on the golf course, we never had a debate about whether one of us caught the ball or not.
Yeah.
Could you please explain to me now exactly what is a catch and why it is so difficult to tell?
Yeah. I don't know that he can, but it's basically a catch is when the ball is thrown to you and then you catch it.
You see it. This one guy throws it.
Can you imagine, like, growing up, if you were playing the backyard, like, you went down to the ground and, like, you know, the other kid was like, I saw that ball move when you rolled over. That's not a catch. You didn't complete the process of the catch.
And that's another one, too.
Giving him a wedgie if anyone had done that.
That would even, like, or even if you did go and if you bobbled it and it came out and you just landed on top. Yeah, that's kind of, you probably have a little honor system, too. I trapped it.
Yeah.
You would hope. But no, I know you just made that great catch, and the big guy over there shoved you, even though it's two-hand touch. But I saw it move. No touchdown.
It moved.
You're right. That guy'd get a wedgie.
Jeff, moving on in today's 5-5. Baseball Prospectus says the Braves are going to win 76 games this season.
Mm-hmm.
They basically project about the same numbers of runs scored, runs allowed as a year ago. Atlanta won 72 games a year ago. Keep in mind that, you know, Freeman only played in like 117 games after he got hit in the hand by that dastardly Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the guy was Canadian. He played for Toronto, though.
Well, then odds are.
But what do you say, Baseball Prospectus, over under 76 wins for the Braves this season? Or do you even care?
I don't care. I do like Freddie Freeman. He's a really good hitter. And it'd be cool if he won a batting championship or something. No, I think they're somewhere around there. I frankly couldn't tell you five or six starters. Was never incredibly high on Dansby Swanson. I never thought he was a lock to be a great player.
I think this is his last shot.
Just and again, the fact that the Padres were willing to deal the number one overall pick for Shelby Miller.
Or the Diamondbacks.
Yeah,
they got him an Enciarte for Shelby Miller.
Right, okay.
But, yeah, they had just drafted him first.
Like number one overall.
Yeah, like a couple months – like that year, like a few months before they traded him.
And that was one, too. Like, Swanson was very good. He played for a great Vanderbilt team that went to the World Series. But that was the same year. LSU had a great shortstop named Alex Bregman. Might have seen him in the ALCS in the World Series making a lot of big plays. You know, and Dave will tell you, it's like, yeah, it's kind of take your pick. I honestly thought Bregman was a little bit better, but you know, Swanson probably had a little bit more range, which I believe Bregman's playing third primarily for Houston. But it wasn't one of those deals. Oh, yeah, this guy's a no-brainer number one pick here. And then the Braves kind of – I thought they made the mistake with the new stadium. They put a lot on him, on a lot of the billboards and the like.
Oh, last year, I mean,
that's
really
a lot of the
marketing heading into the season. And that's, I mean, Atlanta's done that with, I mean, before that there was Freeman, there was Francoeur.
McCann.
Yeah. I mean, McCann.
A dive by Dansby.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then, you know, then he's getting sent down to Gwinnett.
Yeah, that ain't good.
Hey,
bonus, baby.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Braves, too, I don't know if you saw this, but over the weekend, in fact, I'm 100% certain you're not aware of this, but it is funny. The Braves went to arbitration, which is something the Braves have, like, rarely done.
Uh-huh.
But, hey, we got a new sheriff in town at GM, and remember, he was wondering whether or not fans would be more upset if Georgia – what was it that he was wondering?
So would you rather have Georgia win a national championship or the Braves win a World Series? That was one probably where they stopped that survey after about 25 responses.
Yeah.
Like, eh,
they might have deleted that tweet. I don't know, but it's
that
like –
that tweet did not age well.
Yeah. I think we – like 95% of the state would be okay with the Braves going 0-162. If Georgia would have beaten Alabama last month. But enough about us.
And again, I would take going 0-162 for a first down against Tech. So
They're just a first down against Tech, you would trade the Braves losing every game.
I mean, if it came down, if it was like, oh, it's, we're up 21-17, there's 2 minutes to go, Tech's out of timeouts, it's third and four. First down, absolutely.
Jeff, I'll give you a first down here, but the Braves have to go 0-162. You're making that deal.
And the first down clinches a win over the enemy?
You doing it?
Yeah, I would hope.
Well, anyways, they went.
Most of our listeners would as well.
Would do it as well?
Yes.
Well, the Braves went to arbitration with Mike Fultonevich.
Fulty.
All right.
That guy's supposed to be an ace, right?
The Braves, he wanted $2.3 million. The Braves were offering $2.2 million. Now, that's a difference of $100,000 that the Braves decided to go to arbitration with Fultonevich. By the way, the Braves won arbitration, so Fultonevich is only going to make $2.2 million. Some people have pointed out that it probably cost the Braves that much just to go to arbitration.
Probably so.
What do you think the Braves were thinking there?
Thinking poorly, and that's, again, that's some mid-management bureaucrat trying to make a mark. And I get it. You know, if the guy's asking for $5 million, it's like, all right, look, if there's $100,000 difference, and this guy's supposed to be one of their top young pitchers, that's not exactly great for morale heading into the year.
Well, you know, it makes you wonder now. So, what is Fultonevich? Because he was kind of a hothead anyway. Now, is this going to make him pitch with a chip on his shoulder, or is he just going to be thinking now, well, when I do finally win free agency, I'm not re-signing here?
It could.
And do the I mean, maybe it's also a sign that the Braves are telling him, we don't really have you in our long-term plans anyhow.
They could be. I mean, it just seems kind of petty, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's $100,000 in an industry where it's just you're talking about, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes, $100,000 would be a lot in this room. Trust me.
Yeah,
it'd be life changing for me and Brame. But in the majors, I mean, come on.
No, I mean on the other, I mean Fultonevich probably wouldn't even realize it in his paycheck. You know what $100,000 would look like one way or another. You're not going to be able to tell.
No, not if you're making 2.2 in a year. Because like 2.4 would be what? That'd be $200,000 a month. So that's basically $50,000 a week.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about. So it'd be.
But if you're only getting paid, say, during the season.
I don't know how that works. Do they only pay them during the season?
I think
so,
yeah. Okay. I think they pretty much just get, you know, regular checks like the rest of us do, just with a few extra digits on them.
All right, so then we'll say then over an 8-week period or an 8-month period, if you're making 2.4, then that's $300,000 a month. So what's that? That's $75,000 a week.
Yeah,
this would be like $68,000 a week.
Yeah,
I mean, I get it. It's a lot of money. I'm not trying to say it's not. But
he wouldn't notice it, like the difference.
It's a small
$100,000.
$100,000 is 1/22 of what he's making.
Yeah.
So that's less than 1/5 of what his income is.
Even on like his part, I mean, it seems kind of weird that even over $100,000, you're willing to go sit there and listen to your employer tell you how much you suck.
That's a bad thing about arbitration. Well, listen now, I know you said your ERA was 2.28, but in that series against the Twins, you know, you blew those leads in the
Yeah. I remember, like, he almost threw a no-hitter last year against the A's. I think he went 8 2/3. But then, you know, he had a losing record, and his ERA was up over 4. And, I was looking at him. You look at his strikeout rate, I mean, it's pretty much been level in his 3 seasons. Some of those other outside of the wins and losses, he doesn't seem to be a guy that's necessarily improving. So, I mean, the Braves could just very well be thinking, well, we don't really have you in our long-term plans anyway. So, mm-hmm. If we could save $100,000 now, we'll just save $100,000 now. But that's such a small amount of money for, you know, when you're talking about professional sports and the amount of money that is, flowing throughout the sport.
Oh, my
And we're
gosh.
Talking about, I mean, millions and millions of dollars. But you're going to go to, and again, for a franchise that has rarely gone to arbitration over the last, you know, two decades.
Our friend Weldon, Seeky Swish, say, I'd trade 0-262 for any dog victory. Well, it's 162 in the majors, but then I was thinking about this. If you throw in 16 Falcons games and 82 Hawks games, that's 98 plus 162 is 260. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you be okay if the Braves never won another game for – yeah, whatever. Yeah, of course. What do I care? For a first down against Tech?
I'd rather beat Tech.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the Braves would just never win another game.
Real quick, Dave tweeted in here, too, and said, very contentious right now with the owners versus the agents and neither side giving an inch. And back to your point, it's like, again, it's over $100,000.
Yeah, well, there's all these free agents that aren't getting signed. I know you, Darvish, got signed by the Cubs over the weekend, but it might be heading to some sort of a work stoppage.
There's collusion. Do they make them sign contracts? Well, yes, they do, but they get paid a lot of money.
Yes, they do. All right, moving on to the 5-5 baseball prospectus says the Braves win 76 games, Jeff. The Georgia JD perspective says what about the Dogs who will open up their season on Friday?
The big key is to have, I think, at least 11 wins heading into SEC play. Need to be 11-7 or better heading into the league. I think Georgia through the first 8 weeks of conference play has a good chance to be around 500, which is essential because week 9 is at Florida. They won the national championship last year and got 12 of the 14 first place votes this year. And I don't believe you're allowed to vote for yourself, but I'm not sure.
No, the coaches?
Yes.
Yeah, you're not. You can't. No.
And then close it out at Arkansas, which is a consensus preseason top 5. So we need to be in a good spot heading into those last 2 weekends because those are going to be hard series to win.
There's been a I probably have read more about Arkansas in the last couple of weeks leading up to the start of the season than any other team in the conference or the country. So what I've gathered is that Arkansas might be among the favorites to win Omaha this year. That's a team that's just absolutely loaded.
They are. And you know, Dave Van Horn's had such great success there. And they went to a couple of College World Series. And then they dipped just a little bit, but such faith in him there. And they have such an awesome stadium, such a great environment. The RBI girls dancing on top of the dugouts, of course. It's always a fan favorite.
What about Hog Noxious?
Hog Noxious, another great recruiting inducement there. And they've just put so much into it, and Coach Van Horn has built it back up. So I agree with you. I think they're going to be a favorite to be right there fighting for it in Omaha. So that is a tough, tough close to the season. And the way the schedule goes, although Tech isn't nearly what they have been, they are – I mean, last year's team's the worst team they've had since before Jim Morris was there back in the early 80s. But – it is still Tech, and it's big, and Clemson's going to be good. All 5 of the Tech and Clemson games come after conference play starts. So you're talking about probably a stretch of 35 out of what will it be, maybe 38 will be SEC Tech or Clemson. So it's got to buckle in. And I think the big thing when you go through that grind is you got to win the series you're supposed to win, and you got to do anything you can to not get swept. Those sweeps just absolutely kill you, and it's hard to come back from that.
Well, it's just Georgia's got to avoid, like last year when they dumped that series to Ryder. I mean, you can't dump a series to Ryder and then expect that anyone's going to be in a good frame of mind starting SEC play. I mean, if you can't beat them, it's just who you're going to beat.
And the non-conference schedule to start the year, I mean, it's challenging. Right, but it's Georgia Southern, Kennesaw, College of Charleston. So there's some very good Southern mid-major teams that have good players. And you know they're going to be going all in, so nothing's easy. But it's not like some of these schedules we've had before, when it's been USC, UCLA, Oregon State, Florida State, Baylor. So it's I'm not saying it's easy, but it's manageable.
No, Georgia's played way better non-conference.
Oh, I mean, like the 2011 schedule's the toughest in the history of college baseball.
Wasn't there a year where that we opened with Arizona and then went to Oregon State the weekend after that?
Arizona was number one. Oregon State was a 2-time defending national champion.
Yeah, those were the first 6 games.
Yes.
So.
No, I mean, it's again, is it a challenging schedule? Of course, and it's baseball, but it's not even remotely close to some of the schedules that Georgia's played in years gone by. And, again, I think that is a key to have a winning record going into conference play. Georgia starts at Alabama. And Bama's picked to finish 6th or 7th in the SEC West. So it would be great to go off and get a road series win to start off.
They won 5 conference games last year. I mean, Georgia – won twice as many SEC games as Alabama did last season. Jeff, finally, we'll wrap up the 5 at 5 with a 5 at 5 Power Five.
5 5 Power Five.
Give me your I want your top five running backs in this year's NFL draft class. Come on.
Sony Michel, numero uno.
Wow,
Saquon
number one.
Barkley.
So you're telling me the Browns should draft Sony Michel with the first pick.
I'd take Sony and Roquan with 1 and 4. Saquon Barkley, number two. Darius Geis, number three. Nick Chubb, number four. And in the right fit, he could be even higher. And what do you say, Brain? We go just – do we go off the board just a little bit here? I kind of liked your way of thinking with John Kelly from Tennessee. I didn't have a ton of help around him. He had some really good games, and I felt like Tennessee would have beaten Florida if they would have utilized him a little bit better. So maybe John Kelly could be a sleeper sneaker pick coming in there.
I like – so Butch Jones' picture still on that scoreboard at Neyland Stadium, huh?
Yeah, we could – that might be worth a segment unto itself.
Yeah. I like your list, but I added I like Ronald Jones, the guy out of USC, and Kerryon Johnson. I mean, I guess Kerryon Johnson just
– why does he slip my mind? I mean, the guy hammered us over at Auburn.
And Bama.
I know.
The guy hammered us and Bama.
I know. So I'll add Kerryon in there. But we forgot him when we were doing our SEC-only draft.
Not anymore. I like him more than Geis. My five would be Barkley, and this is no particular order, Barkley, right. Jones, Johnson, and then Chubb and Michelle.
Johnson would be a guy, I think if you've got a team that likes to throw it a lot, he could be a power back. Or how about a fit for him, Chris, because they've already got Derrick Henry. It looks like the Titans are going to cut DeMarco Murray. So to get another power back in Johnson to bring in behind Henry with Mariota, that might be a good pick for Tennessee.
Yeah, add that to the mix. Well, Henry was breaking out in that playoff game.
Ooh, how about that run he had?
Against the Chiefs when they were blowing it.
So you get the first down, I believe, and the over.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing Sony go home to South Florida playing for the Dolphins.
The Nick Foles deal, I mean, all of a sudden, apparently, you know, the word is, oh, teams aren't going to give up a first-rounder. So I'm like, well, okay. I mean, if you're Philly.
Well, if the Dolphins take – if Roquan's still there at 11, I'll take him and take Sony Michel. Just an all-Georgia draft.
I would just love
to – pair him with Rashad Jones.
The Roquan Dolphins backfield.
Yeah. That'd be a good linebacking unit.
Yeah, it would.
All right, there's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.